I consider myself to be very blessed to be assigned here at St. Lucie's for my pastoral year. I'm able to witness the love and the care that each and every of parishioners have for each other, how vibrant this community is, and I'm lucky to witness a growing and flourishing parish. I'm also blessed to be taught and trained by Father Mark and Father Steve on how to serve the people and have that zeal of, you know, giving your best so that we can take care of the people of the flock of Christ. Another blessing that I consider myself to have gotten in this pastoral year is having heard the stories of the parishioners of how God has worked in their lives and how they are blessed. I have heard about spiritual healings, physical healings, how God answered their prayers, and how God has provided the grace and the strength for them to be able to bear their crosses and challenges in life. Looking back to my own life, I also saw how God worked in me, and I am amazed with how the Lord has helped me grow throughout these years. With the help of the people around me, God has transformed me to be the man that I am right now. As I have told many people, I did not really like to pray when I was young. And probably if I told my high school friends and my college friends, they'll probably be surprised why I'm here. But thanks to the prayers and the effort of my mother, you know, she really tried to make me close to God. I remember that she would take us to church not only on Sundays, but also on the days where she was free. Being a child who always played games, watched movies, and TV, until now, I always complained about being taken to the church on other days than Friday and Sunday. And I would cry and have tantrums and misbehave in the church. So some people ask me why I have a lot of patience with kids. It's because I have done more worse things than them. But whenever I misbehave in the church, because I did not like to be in the church, when we get into the car on our way home, my mom would give us a 15-minute mini retreat on our way home and turn our car into a mobile retreat house. So she would remind my sister and me that God has been so good to us that we would have nothing if we did not have God. My mother and father did not raise us on their own. We were raised with the help of God. And I think that this is true for every family, for the elders here, grandparents, uncles, moms, parents, those who are taking care of kids. You know, these people have a hard time raising children if you do not ask the help of God. We need to ask God's help so that the children can truly live a happy life, a peaceful life, a joyous life, a life that we can only have when we have Christ in us. And we forget that we need God's help. So we have to realize that we have our limitations in our capacities, that a big part of our life has to be lifted up to God. And I think this is the message that Jesus wants us to convey to us today. In a gospel in the city of Nain, Jesus saw a dead man that was being carried out, a man that was the only son of his mother, a widow. She did not have an immediate family anymore, and the problem that the mother was facing was beyond her. She would not be able to bring her son back to life, and she was alone. Many times, many parents are faced with different problems in their family that are also beyond them. And sometimes their children are also causing problems. Where can we get the food to eat? Where can we get the money to send our children to a good school? And sometimes children do not listen to their parents anymore, or there is much grief and sadness in the family. When Jesus saw the dead man, the gospel said that he was moved with pity, and he approached the coffin. And moved with pity, he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." And immediately the dead man sat up and spoke. I do not know what you have done if you were there. Probably if I was there, I would have run away because of fear. And imagine a dead man coming back to life and canceling their funeral plans. But the people, after experiencing fear, they glorified God Because they recognize that Jesus is from God. He has power over death. He has power over things that they don't have control over. To bring back a person to life is a great miracle. In our first reading, we also heard the same miracle. After praying to God, the son came back to life. Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus also were given back the life that they had before. But my brothers and sisters, the miracle that we heard was just a preview of what is to come. Jesus would give us an even greater miracle that continues to happen up to our day. After the man from the inn was raised back to life, what happened? He went back to his former life. He got back his ordinary life. But the life that Jesus would give us later on, through his passion, through his death and resurrection, will be his very life. And this very life that he gives to us and shares to us happens up to this day and is being given to us in the sacrament of the Mass, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, where the passion, death, and resurrection is not only remembered, but it is made present in our midst. As Padre Pio said, that whenever you go to Mass, you are at the foot of the cross. It is not a mere remembrance, but it is happening in our midst. Jesus is telling us, yes, that there will be challenges that parents will face as they raise their children. You know, the mother in the story could not do anything but to mourn for her dead son. And there are many more problems that you parents will face that will be beyond your capabilities. But Jesus tells us that to raise the children, we need his help. Yes, you can work all day. Yes, you can have two or three jobs to be able to send your children to school. We need material things, but we also need to pray together, to ask for God's help so that our children will be guided. And sometimes it would seem that your parents are not useful or it's not effective, but I take inspiration from the mother of St. Augustine. So for many years, she was praying for her son for her conversion. And for many years, St. Augustine lived a wayward life. And it seemed that nothing was happening. But in fact, in reality, St. Monica, as long as she prayed to God, was storing graces in heaven. And when St. Augustine opened his heart, then the graces that St. Monica was storing in heaven poured in into St. Augustine's heart. And he became one of the doctors of the church. And each of us are called to give life to others. This is our vocation. Not only for us to attain eternal salvation for ourselves, but for us to also give this life to others. No matter what state you are in, whether you're a parent, uncle, you're a single person, whether you're a child and a young adult, a teenager, we are called to give the life of Jesus to others. But we won't be able to do it on our own. We need to lead people to Christ and to show how God has touched our life, to preach the good news to them and to tell them about the church and the sacraments when the life of God is communicated to us. I also asked for your prayers. Earlier, I was asking for prayers for the warriors, but it seems that a lot of people are now praying right now at their house as they watch. Maybe just pray for the sharks. I think they have a challenge that's beyond their capabilities. But I also asked for your prayers so that I may respond to God's call to also give life to others in a special way. I will need your prayers and support, and most of all, I will need God's help. God willing, in 2 years, when I become a priest, just like Father Mark and Father Steve, I will be infusing the life of God in everyone whom I will baptize. And I will nourish the spiritual life of the flock of Jesus. And through the power of Jesus, I will be bringing back to life those souls of those who will go to the sacrament of confession. So as we continue our celebration, let us remind ourselves of our vocation to bring eternal life to others. It is a vocation that we cannot do on our own. So let us ask the help of Jesus.